Today, it's my privilege to share the Word of God with you. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Anatoly. I am one of the elders here at the church. Also, I work on staff as a missions pastor. And today, I'm following up on sermon that Pastor Joel did last Sunday, Walking Out Your Yes. We felt that this Global Impact Celebration was so awesome. Who was there, guys? I just want to see the hands who attended our GIC. Most of you. It was such a wonderful time, hearing all the stories, being with those partners, being encouraged. And Joel from Quebec, he challenged us with such a profound sermon. And we all said yes to the Lord. We all said yes to God's plans, to His purposes for us. And, you know, there is a one thing when you encounter God on a mountaintop, when your heart is being stirred, you're overwhelmed by God's love, and you feel so close to the Lord, and you feel He's calling you. And at this point, your heart melts, and you says, of course, Lord, you can have my yes. You can have my life. Whatever you want, lead me, I will follow you. We all had experience like that. But then the next day, we experience the reality of life. It's a crucible of life. Our yes is being tested. We said yes to obedience. We said yes to generosity. We said yes to holiness. We said yes to loving our neighbor. But the next day, this yes is being tested. And will we walk it out? Will we stay on track? So this is why we felt like we got so encouraged and we said yes. But now let's make sure that as we said yes, we actually stay on track. Pastor Joel, he finished his sermon by encouraging us to keep our eyes on Jesus as we continue walking out our yes. As Peter, as he was walking on the water, as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he could walk on water. But as soon as he started to notice the waves and he kind of lost, that's where he went under. So this is where Pastor Joel left his sermon. And you guys, if you missed it, please make sure you listen to it. But today, I would like us to focus more on walking out our yes as a community, as a church. And I would like to start by reading from the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Let's hold firmly to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let's consider how to encourage one another in love and good deeds, not abandoning our own meetings together, as it's the habit of some people, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I love this passage so much, because it connects us walking out our yes, us leaving our call and running our race with endurance. It connects it with community. You know, it says, the author says, let us hold firmly to our confession without wavering. Why would we waver? Why he says that why would we waver? Because we're humans. We made of flesh and blood. Life is hard. Life hurts sometimes. Sometimes when we see those big waves, when we encounter reality of life, once we're being hurt by what's happening in our life, we get anxious. We have tendency to doubt. We have tendency to shrink back. We're not made of steel. We have weak moments. We have bad days. We get weak. And because of that, Scripture gives us two remedies in the Scripture. First of all, this reminder, remember that God is faithful. So it points us to the one who started our journey, who called us, and He is faithful to sustain us on this journey. But the second remedy, it says, consider how to encourage one another. And my first point today is this: your yes needs encouragement. Bible says consider, which means to be intentional, because God knows how much we all need encouragement, how much our yes needs encouragement. And in the same way, your brothers and sisters' yes also needs an encouragement. There are seasons when following Jesus and following His call, it feels like an uphill battle. I'm sure each of us, we experience those seasons in life, and it feels like, oh boy, it's hard. I definitely have experienced multiple of those seasons. When you woke up in the morning and you know what's right, you know what you ought to do, you know all the things that God's calling you to do, but you're like, oh boy, it's so hard. It feels like real uphill battle. And, you know, if following Jesus was always easy, then Bible wouldn't tell us that we need perseverance. It wouldn't say that let us not grow weary, because growing weary, it's a real thing. It's a real thing, and we all experience those times when we grow weary. And that's why Paul's saying in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another and build each other up. Because getting weary, it's a real thing. Because we are not made of steel. Because we are humans, we are flesh and blood. Because we have bad days. Because we're prone to doubts. Paul says, you build one another. You strengthen one another. That's the remedy that God gave for us to help us to stay on track. We are to encourage one another in our yes. I believe in you. I believe in your calling. I see you. I see your sacrifices. I see your commitment. I see your sincere desire following the Lord. I see your struggles. I am with you. I see your giftings. I believe in you. Come on. I'm cheering you on. This is what we are to do to one another. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, we find a moment when God telling Moses said he is not the one who would lead children of Israel into the promised land. And this is what he tells him in verse 38. Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall enter. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit the land. When Charles Spurgeon was preaching on this verse, his very famous quote, God employs his people to encourage one another. God didn't send an angel. God didn't show up to Joshua in some kind of weird, cloud saying, go. He told Moses, Moses, you go and encourage Joshua. God employs his body, his church, to encourage one another. Spouses, if you're married, you are to be the greatest encourager and cheerleader for your spouse. Natalie, she is my greatest cheerleader and my greatest encourager. I've done so many things that were not good in life, even as we were married. I made some decisions that made us, they're costly decisions. There was a stories and stories of us losing apartment and moving and doing some shifts, and then we're not good for our family. We're not good for her. Not even once she would tell me, oh, I told you so. Oh, you shouldn't have done that. Oh, if you didn't that, we wouldn't be in this place. All I could hear from her along those years of desert and years of wandering was, we can do it. God is with us. Come on, I believe in you. Keep on going. Keep on pursuing God's purpose. I'm standing by you. And that encouragement, it was like a wind underneath my wings that was helping me to not get discouraged, not to just kind of quit it all. I'm trying to be encourager for Natalie, seeing what's important to her as she's pursuing her art, as she's pursuing the call that God placed on her life, and I'm trying to create space and encourage her in that. Spouses, we are to be greatest cheerleaders for each other. Parents, you are to be the greatest cheerleaders for your children. Leaders, I think this is our main job, to encourage people we lead. I really think that comes down to the main thing that we do as the leaders, to encourage the people. You can do it. Come on. God is with you. I see you. I see potential. Encouragement has this prophetic edge when you actually call out the best out of people. Even if person is not really great at the moment, but you see the potential. You see what's hidden. You see what could be. And through encouragement, you're calling it out of people you lead. Congregation, encourage your leaders, because leadership is tough. And I'm telling you, if you knew how often your leaders wants to quit, you would be scared. Almost every other day, every other leader, you hear this, oh, can I quit? Can I do something else? Can I move to island somewhere in Mediterranean, buy a little vineyard and hide there and stay there till the end of my life? Because leadership is hard. Because ministry is hard. We fight. We get exhausted from all the battles, from decisions. Not only leaders, all of us. That's why we are to encourage one another and stand by each other's sides. This is a call that God has for all of us. George Matthew Adams, the American author, he says, encouragement is an oxygen for the soul. I remember some time ago, I was about to go to Vietnam to preach at the pastor's conference, to visit churches, and I was going with Glenn from our church and Pastor Desmond from Yorkton. And I remember I was feeling like, I don't know what I'm going to do there. I was in a weak moment in my kind of life, and I had too many things going on, and I don't know if I have what it takes. I'm going to travel all the way to Vietnam. What am I going to tell to these leaders, to these pastors? I was like really full of self-doubt and full of sense of, I don't know if I'm the right person to go. And it was a Sunday. Pastor Joel was praying for me, kind of sending me off to this trip. And I remember after the service, a sister from our church came to me at the foyer there. And she just told me some things that God did in her life through my preaching. Some of the things, how God encouraged her and blessed her. And some of the things that even many years ago I mentioned in the sermon. And it's almost like as she was saying these words, I felt my soul was filling with oxygen. It's like, Lord, you indeed anointed me. You indeed gave me the gifting. You indeed gave me the grace. You know what? Thank you for opening this door. I'm saying yes. I'm going for it. And I trust you that as you use me as a pastor, you will give me the word. You will anoint me and you will use me for your glory. This is what encouragement does. It fills us with strength. Encourage one another. That's why in verse 25, in the passage we just read, after saying, not giving up meeting together. This word meeting, it's more than just a crowd of strangers coming to listen to nice music and listen to somebody speaking. When I think about this word congregation, meeting, it reminds me of a cluster of grape, where all the grapes organically touching one another, organically related to each other. It describes a community in which all aspects of members' life touch. It describes a community that marked by deep mutual ministry, deep spiritual friendship. When we get into each other's life, when we allow others to get into our lives, when we get real, when we share our hurts, we share our struggles, we open up, we ask people to pray for us, and we do the same to others. We encourage one another. This is what after saying, don't dare miss out on that. That kind of a church, that kind of a community that God wants us to have. When we not just simply come here, when we say, I go to church, I understand why we're saying it. And that's a fine thing in English language. But actually, it's not really biblical. You can't go to, you are church. Your body assembles on Sunday and you just join the assembly. It's not like you go to church. This language, it's really kind of a little bit far from what Jesus calls a church. I heard this funny statement by Andy Stanley. I thought I would just share it with you. No one traces the root of their problem back to too much encouragement. Church, we are here and our main purpose is to encourage one another. Be fully present for one another. Open our eyes, see each other, listen to each other, and speak life into one another. This is why we are here. This is why we're here. Community helps us endure on our journey. Walking out our yes is hard. Your yes is going to be tested. And you need people who will encourage you, who will remind you of who you are, how God sees you, who God is, who would call you back if you start drifting. But God is not only asking for your yes. He places your yes among other people's yes, so that together we can walk out our joint calling as a church. As an individual, you have a calling. But as a church, as Harvest City Church, as a community, we also have a calling. Your yes matters. My yes matters. But God is also listening to our yes as a church. It leads me to my second point. The yes we carry together. We have this, we used to have in Ukraine, this very strange day. It called something like a sports day or whatever it called. But the idea was that all the classes were competing in high school against one another in racing. But it was not your regular race, your normal race. They would select 10 kids from a class to run the lap along with their parents or great grandparents. So you will have this crowd of people running the lap and it being timed. And the class the who runs the fastest, they are the ones who getting the whatever it is, reward, medal. And you know, some parents could make it, so great grandparents would come. And often fathers, they would find a reason not to be there. So mostly it were moms and grandmoms. So you see this like crowd of people and kids, no problem. They can run fast. But some of the parents, they forgot last time they ran, you know, in their 50s or sometimes 60s or 70s. And the smarter ones, this is what they did. I saw four kids would come alongside the slowest ones, grab them by the shoulders and ran with them to get to the... Because what the point? You can run as fast as you can. You reach there and you first. But if your teammates is still 5 minutes behind, who's going to win? You're still going to lose. So if you want your team to win, you will do anything you can to help your weakest one. That's kind of a fun, maybe that's why I don't like sports, because I was exposed to all things like that when I was a child. In his wisdom, God places his people in local churches so that one, we can help one another to fulfill our individual callings, but also so that the church itself would be empowered to fulfill its calling as a church. When we say yes to Jesus, we also say yes to his body, to a collective calling that we carry as Harvest City Church. In our Western culture, our culture is marked by individualism. Did I say it right? Individualism? I don't want to be responsible for anybody else. I don't want to rely on anybody else, and I don't want to be hindered by anybody else. I don't want to be slowed down by other people's shortcomings and weaknesses and flaws. I for myself. I want to work hard. I want to make myself me. You know, you're running slow, your problem. You're not doing well, it's not my problem. Should have done better. You should have, pray more. Should have give more. Should have whatever more. You know, we don't feel that sense of actually we're responsible for other people. We are part of the group. We are a herd. Christian faith, it's not me faith. It's us faith. This is why when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, he started, "Our Father, we are called into the body." That's the truth of our faith. When we responded to God's call, we joined the body. Romans 12, Apostle Paul gives very interesting instructions to this church in Rome. "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others." Another translation said, "We are members of one another. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." See, Paul is not saying that we're just members of organization. We're members of church. We are members of one another. I belong to you, and you belong to me. And we can't help it. God joined us in his provision and wisdom. God put us together so we would be members of one another. Our giftings, it's not ours, they belong to the body. Everything we are, everything we bring to the table, it's not ours, it belongs to the body. Our brains, our talents belongs to the body. Nothing hurts our sense of individualism as an idea of the body. Because it's not just all about you. It's not just all for you. It's not just all about what you like or don't like. It's about the body. Body. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's lead, do it diligently. If it's so to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And then verse 10, he's summarizing. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. So this is a lesson on body dynamic. I love how New King James Version, verse 10, it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. In God's wisdom, he arranged it like this, that I need you to fulfill my call, and you need me to fulfill your call. And we all need one another, and we can't go without one another to fulfill our call as a church. I need your yes, and you need my yes. This is how God created it. So it's just not about one person. It's not just about one gifting. It's not just about one vision. It's about all of us together contributing to the cause. Church, I want you to remember this. Your calling is not just a self-expression. Your calling is a contribution. I've struggled with this a lot. And I have seen many people struggling with their calling when they ask the question about how can I, they're thinking about calling as self-realization, as fulfillment of their stirrings and desires. The approach idea of their calling is, where is the place where I can flourish? Or where is the place where I can do what I want? Where is the place where I can apply my giftings? And those are not entirely wrong questions, except for they are not the questions to start with. The question to start with is how I can contribute. Where's my contribution? When you focus not on self-fulfillment, but on the body, and you look at what the giftings God gave you and the skills and anointing and the way God made you, and you start figuring out how can I contribute to the body. You are fulfilling your calling by helping other members and the body as a whole to fulfill their calling. Like in a physical body, in church body, all members are there to sustain well-being of the whole body. We are not just doing me thing. We're contributing. If body is well, all members are well. If body is winning, everybody's winning. If body is struggling, you are struggling. We need to have a fresh revelation of the body of Christ. North American, Western church, kind of losing that sense. When I travel east, when I go to Nepal, India, Pakistan, I think they're doing better in terms of fostering and cultivating that body sense of community. Western church, we can pick up. We can grow in this area. We need to have fresh revelation of the body. In Ephesians 4, Apostle Paul gives another exhortation about the body of Christ. And this is what he is saying, starting from verse 7. But to each of us, Grace has been given as Christ appropriated. And then he talks about different ministries. He's talking about how God placed pastors and prophetic people and apostles and evangelists to equip the body of Christ. So he kind of goes into the nuts and bolts of the body. But I want to jump all the way to verse 15 when he kind of summarizes what happens when body works properly. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is a head, that is Christ. Listen to this. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. And listen to this. As each part does its work. How many parts? Just some parts? Each part. This is how God designed his church. He brings us all together. He knows our destinies. He knows our giftings. He knows what he placed. Something very unique in each of you. In each of you, God placed something very unique. You are not here by accident. Some of you got brought from overseas, from far, far countries. And you're wondering, what am I doing here? God brought you here. Hello. To join you into the body, because he knows that what you have, we need, and what you need, what we have, you need. And he joined us together to create one. So together, as each of us, each member contributes, the whole body flourishing, growing, prospering, become powerful, reaching the nations, doing the great things as a body. This is what God is doing. God is doing his work in the world through his church, not simply through isolated individuals, but through his body. And when the body of Christ saying yes to God's call and working and functioning as it designed, it becomes unstoppable. You can't stop the body of Christ. And devil hates it. He hates it when body of Christ works as it designed. That's why he works overtime. To hinder the body, to slow down the body, to stir whatever he can stir, divisions, offenses, grievances, whatever he can to slow down so body wouldn't function the way it designed. Devil is not so much threatened by individual believers, but he is threatened by the body that filled with the Holy Spirit, anointed by the Holy Spirit, and working in unity, because he knows his kingdom in the grave danger if the body works together. So my third and my last point is this. Don't let the enemy to hinder our yes. 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, plows around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. I have an experience living with the lions. The next picture here will show you the two lions I live with. This one called Gracie, and this one called Romeo. Look at the paw. Look at those claws. I'm telling you, I'm waking up to it like every morning. I don't know how they didn't eat me alive just yet. But they're always looking. They're looking what to devour. I'm telling you. Especially the Gracie, because she has a diabetes. She's always hungry. And she's like looking. You leave something on your plate, you just go to the fridge to get something more. By the time you come back to your plate, gone. Looking for something to devour. Our enemy, he's always on the lookout. Sniffing out, looking for opportunity, looking where he can stick his crowbar, where he can stir. You know, he knows us well. He knows what gets under our skin. He knows, you know, each of us, we have a button. When this button being pushed, we react, even before we know it. He knows our buttons. And he is just trying, Joel, I will press your button. And he know, like, it happens all the time. Because he wants us to go down the path of bitterness, of unforgiveness, of tensions, of paying attention. Oh, they didn't say hi. Oh, how could they? Oh, they didn't congratulate me on my birthday. How come they missed it? So he wants us to kind of start focusing on those things so that bitterness started to grow in our hearts. Resentfulness. His main strategy is to steer children of God one against another. So we would start looking at each other with all kind of grievances, all kind of sense of, oh, I don't like this one. This is what he did to me. Oh, and this one as well, I don't like because this is what she did to me. And this one, oh, I don't want to even be in this part of the church. Oh, those people here, 5 years ago, he didn't respond to my email. 10 years ago, she didn't return my text. I posted something on Facebook and she didn't like my post. I don't even want to talk to her. I will unfriend. This is what, I know that it's kind of, I'm joking. We are not like that at all, you know. We're much more mature than that. But let us watch out. Ephesians 4, I just want to read another scripture here. Paul is saying, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Okay, Paul. Tell us more. We want to live the life worthy of the calling. It must be really complicated. It must be mysterious. Tell us. Oh, I will tell you. Verse 2. Here it is. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is only one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. There is a call for each of us to make every effort to keep the unity of the body. How do we make this effort? Paul is telling us to be completely humble and gentle, to be patient with one another. And my favorite one, it's to bear with one another. If we didn't have to bear, if God knew, church is a gathering of perfect people. You never will have to bear with anybody's shortcomings and flaws and things that irritate you. He wouldn't tell, church, be ready to bear with one another. It means to bear with one another differences of opinion, cultural differences, different upbringings, personality differences. I've heard people often saying, they're like just water and oil. They never mix together. We should just never even try. Get over it. In Christ, there is no oil and water. We all joined by the Holy Spirit. Just shake off your pride and start seeking point of connecting with brothers and sisters, regardless if you find them difficult. I want to tell you one revelation. You are also difficult. I know that there are many things, many of you can say, I can give you 5 things that irritate me in you, Anatoly. I can give you 10. Let's compare our lists. We can all write down. If I start writing now, I might not stop till next Sunday. If I start writing all the lists that may be irritated, like as soon as we go down that path, we lose the battle. We are to see the beauty in each other. That's why those words are saying, you know, the gentleness and patience and love and affection. This is the mark of mature church. When we truly walk out this loving for one another, when we see beauty in one another, she is my sister, he is my brother. Some things I may not like. Who cares? I love my sister. I love my brother. I will encourage my sister. I will encourage my brother. I will contribute to their calling. I will say yes to be there for them. This is a church that Christ is building. He says, make every effort. If you don't make effort, it's like a garden. If you don't make an effort to uproot your weeds, weeds just take over. That's why, church, each of us, we are responsible to watch over our hearts, deal with the issues, bring them to the Lord, forgive quickly, refuse to be offended, refuse to bitterness. If there is something that you feel, come and deal with it. Approach the person. Be honest. Pray together. Approach the leader. Don't allow those little things to grow into bitterness and eat you up. We need you. Don't allow devil to plant bitterness, to plant resentfulness in your heart, because as soon as he does it, you're out. You're sitting on the bench. You're no longer running with the team. We need you. Don't let God, enemy, to get hold of your heart and allow those negative things to grow in you. But in the same time, church, let us be gentle with one another. Some of us, we need to learn to put filters in our mouths when we talk to our brothers and sisters. We need to learn to be, what's this word? Considerate to one another. We need to learn to be considerate to one another's feelings and notice people. Be fully present. On one hand, yes, don't allow bitterness, offense. On another hand, don't offend people. Notice people. Say hi. Smile. Ask how are you doing. Pray for somebody. Be that carrier of patience, carrier of love. Like Paul was saying, affectionate love to one another. Let us work together to foster, to guard what God is doing. God is doing great things in Harvest City Church. This past GAC was just, it was just to show that God is with us. He has great plans for us to use us for great things, for a harvest in Regina, in Canada, in all over the world. And we will see more great things, but let us guard, let us foster, let each of us, let us not allow devil to hinder what God is doing. Let us be on guard of our hearts, but also of each other. Amen? Okay, church, let us stand close in prayer. Okay, I would like to make you awkward. Why not? You know, you already have a list of what you don't like about me. Add just one more thing. Instead of me just praying and just blah, 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 close your eyes, bow your heads, like, why don't we just take a moment before you head to have a cup of coffee and encourage one another in foyer? I want you to turn to person next to you. I know we don't do it, but today we do it. Turn to a person next to you and just ask one simple question. How can I pray for you? And just take 1 minute and pray for your brother or your sister. You can group in groups of three. Let's just spend 2 minutes praying for one another. Let's just practice. And this will be the end of our service. I'm watching you. You're doing it.